Josh, welcome to the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, James. It's great to be here.
So let's get into this. Could you tell us a little bit more about the types of technologies that are, as you would call it, making mechanomorphisms of us?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in how we use technology to understand the world generally. But for this show, I'm trying to illustrate sort of in a more broad context all of these weird ways in which machines make sense of humans. And what we do naturally is, as you were saying, when we see a technology, we tend to anthropomorphize it. So, you know, there's all of these, our car or our toaster breaks down and we'll think of it as a struggling little creature and, you know, to try and give it emotional support or swear at it or whatever. And a lot of new technology around machine learning, robotics, AI, has a very human face to it. So, you know, these robots which are designed to engage with humans look kind of like humans, or cute children, big eyes and this sort of thing. And naturally, we tend to anthropomorphize that. And also, because of our lack of understanding of how the technology, basically, behind how they see the world and respond to the world, we tend to just imagine that it's a continuation of a kind of animal or human process.
Right.
With this show, I'm trying to talk about specific technologies. So there's a handful of particular technologies which are being developed and the way in which they understand the world. So I'm using the word aesthetic to mean the way in which they sort of encounter the world, the way that the world looks to them, and in particular humans. It's really crazy. It doesn't look like a human. It doesn't look like what we would consider a human. So we're looking at things that a bunch of technologies, some of the aesthetics people have seen and have been explored a little bit, things like convolutional neural networks, so this sort of like deep neural network systems.
Right.
People have probably seen that sort of aesthetic from this deep dreaming thing, you know, all these images with the thousand eyes,
yeah,
or dogs everywhere and things like that. Some of the other technologies, as a general sort of non-technical crowd, probably don't have much of an idea of them. And we're going through five of these sets of technologies through the different artist practices to discuss them and sort of build a bridge between what people know about them and what people don't know about them.
Right, yeah. It can be kind of scary that our humanness can be stripped from us in the view of robots and other kind of technological devices, especially when we seem to be increasingly placing our trust in them. Is that a kind of a potentially dangerous thing to be doing?
I think there's all sorts of consequences that come out of these particular ways of understanding people. I don't think that it's necessary even to get to that point. To a certain degree, I can leave it up to the audience to think about trust. But one thing that's important is that the people who are designing these systems and thinking about how the machines understand humans, they're not people with a really critical, you know, sort of social or philosophical background.
Yeah.
They're just doing whatever is necessary to achieve a particular goal. Sometimes that goal, you know, in the sort of extreme example, that goal is an autonomous weapon system.
Yeah.
And in those cases, it's really obvious to go, okay, they're in thinking about how this killer robot basically understands the world, there are some things that we would really like it to be able to do. So just differentiating, having some sort of sense of differentiation is really important. In general, across these technologies, I think it's really interesting to see what the unintended consequences are of these ways of representing humans.
Right.
Rather than going, okay, well, there's no necessarily no negative intent in the way they're designed. It's just that there's no awareness of what those wider social and philosophical contexts could be. Through this show, I think what is really great, all of the artists have fantastic practices, and I don't know if I'd say bring back, because I don't know how much of a place it's had, but the idea of art and art practitioners as people who are experts in aesthetics,
right,
experts in looking at how we represent the world and what the consequences are, I think that's fantastic to be able to say that rather than art just being sort of co-opted into a way of communicating science, so you're basically sort of producing nice graphics or visuals to talk about how technology works, we're actually taking the artist's practices and the way in which they interrogate how the world is represented.
Right.
And using that as the research itself. So these artists actually have a legitimate place in that conversation about new technologies, machine learning, the way in which they understand the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned research then, and having, I guess, studied computer science, philosophy, and fine arts, you've kind of the perfect man for the job, really. what have you been researching in the lead up to this exhibition?
Well, I do a lot of work around emerging technologies, and some of it is just basically geekery. There's some fantastic, you know, one of my hats, wearing a few different hats, inevitably, when I'm encountering technology, I geek out a little bit of it, a little bit around it. So, you know, get excited about certain things that you can do.
Yeah.
And it does take, sometimes I need to take a step back and think about what actually is going on there. I think it really helps to have an awareness of what's going on under the hood. So, for example, there's a new technology. I don't know if many people will know the Xbox Kinect from a few years ago, which is this thing that you stood in front of and it would track your gestures.
Yeah, like the iToy almost.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Taking it back a few more years.
Yeah. So there's new approaches to using machine learning so that you can do really, really robust. So it's like very, very effective and it doesn't get confused or cause errors very often. Very robust ways of tracking humans just from a webcam from an image. And you basically show it this image and it will pop out the gestures, the skeletal position basically of this person. Or if you show it a video of people dancing, then it will be able to pull out every single person in that shot and give you like a real-time 3D model of all of the people dancing.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of stuff with VR recently. So I've been running a experimental VR studio with four artists. And that was mainly around the idea that VR is not so difficult to actually start experimenting with. But at the moment, the sort of people who are producing VR content are big studios, you know, people with a lot of money. And it's only really one type of voice. You know, they're not doing crazy interesting things. So I was interested in the idea of bringing in more diverse voices into producing VR experiences from very, not just different stories, but different ways of telling stories. So all of the artists had different ways of presenting very different practices. One was a sculptor, one was a digital video maker, performer, cinematographer, and street artist. And they all were dealing with space, but looking at it in very different ways. And it was really exciting to bring them in and see how we could sort of shape the use of VR around that approach to looking at space and the presentation of their art form. That was really good fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. I guess talking about that kind of, I guess, art, especially the media used in this exhibition, how did they allow you to, I guess, engage with these complex concepts?
This is the interesting thing about an art process. I would say that art is knowledge creation, knowledge generation, and where it sits in response to or relative to a scientific investigation. Scientific investigation, on the face of it, is just basically going and it's linear. You follow lines, you follow arguments, you go through a process, and you take you take existing knowledge and you build on top of existing knowledge. The thing about art process is that it's much more holistic. So you're creating meaning and it's much more about what areas of knowledge you have access to and what your experience of the world is. So these different, the thing that's really interesting, rather than having these investigation done through like science communication, so okay, let's talk about these five different approaches and we'll just get some people to like pull out some images or create based on that technology some images which illustrate how they see the world. The thing that we get from the art practice is the artists have their own set of areas of interest, their own concerns, their own concepts that are going through their art practice. And by talking about the aesthetic in relation to those, it pulls out a lot more. For example, Tully Arnett is really interested in this relationship between the social interaction and intimacy between virtual and sort of physical world, I suppose.
Right.
The distinction is sort of falling away
a
little bit. And that's kind of the point. The idea, for example, he has a work called Lonely Sculpture, which is in the show. It's from a few years ago, but it's a great work, which is a silicon cast of his finger with a servo, and it just taps to like, to swipe right, basically,
right,
on Tinder. And that, rather than something where we go like, okay, you know, social networks build up these profiles, and the way that they understand humans is in this particular weird abstracted way, which doesn't really, or the way that they understand intimacy is so far removed from anything that we would be comfortable with, with talking about intimacy for. Rather than just going like straight to that and trying to sort of literally talk about that, Tully's work and all of his work together forms this conversation, which is around, it's so much broader than just sort of that engagement. But by using that work to talk about this this sort of psychometric modeling that people like Facebook are doing, the way in which they build up profiles of social connections and things like that, and the way in which their idea of intimacy and social connection is one which is kind of devoid of what we would say is intimacy. We get to sort of attach our wagon to all of Tully's concepts, and the audience can look at that work and also bring Tully's extra sort of investigation along with it to think about that technology.
Yeah. It's incredibly interesting, and I'm sure people are going to be wanting to know where and when they can catch the exhibition. So when and where can they catch the exhibition?
Awesome. So it opens on the 16th, on Thursday, at Verge Gallery, which is just next to Sydney Uni. And then there's a talk on the 18th from 11:30 until 1.
Right, okay.
Both of the events, so the opening and the talk, are part of the Sydney Science Festival program. The talk is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to just, as I say, bridging this gap between the science punters and the art crowd. And who knows what that will be like, whether there'll be a lot of sort of wide eyes or looks of confusion. Hopefully I can use my own experience between these. I wouldn't say that necessarily having gone through those different areas of study makes it easier for me to communicate to the different groups, because it just means that I'm this weird sort of creature between all of them.
Yeah, right.
But hopefully there will be enough. There's some really good discussion in detail of the technical side of different approaches to understanding.
Right.
Of the different machine aesthetics. There's a discussion to a certain degree of consequences and just sort of caveats and things that you have to be aware of just purely from that technical approach.
Right. I might have to wrap you up there, because news is coming up in about 10 seconds.
Okay,
so
everyone,
that was Dr. Josh Hall, visiting fellow at UNSW, and a really smart guy in general, chatting to us about the machine aesthetics of the human body.